Well, it's a half a minute after 11 o'clock here at KBOO in Portland, Oregon. Time for Democracy Now!
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now! Broadcasting from Chicago.
Yesterday and today are agents of Immigration and Customs Enforcement working with the U.S. Attorney's Office and other authorities executed the largest single worksite enforcement operation against the company in American history. In fact, we arrested more people in this single worksite enforcement operation than in the entirety of last year.
Immigration crackdown. Homeland Security rounds up 1,200 undocumented workers in 26 states. We'll take a look at the unprecedented immigration raids and the ongoing struggle for immigrant rights. Then author Stephen Kinzer on Overthrow, America's Century of Regime Change from Hawaii to Iraq.
Many Americans and many people around the world looked at the American invasion of Iraq as the moment when the U.S. was ripped away from a long tradition of cooperative diplomacy and thrown into a new age when we violently overthrew foreign governments. What I'm saying in my book is that's not true. This invasion is only the latest in a long series of American overthrows of foreign governments that stretch back over more than 100 years.
And we'll take a look at an election race in New Orleans that's considered the city's most important mayoral race ever. All of that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In what's being called one of the largest immigration crackdowns in recent U.S. history, 1,200 undocumented workers from 26 different states were rounded up and detained late Wednesday. The raids focused on the Houston-based company IFCO Systems, North America. Seven current and former managers were charged with conspiracy to transport, harbor, and encourage illegal immigrants to reside in the U.S. for commercial and financial gain. The managers face up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine for each undocumented worker. The arrests come on the heels of the massive rallies in support of immigration rights that have taken place in the last month. We'll have more on this story after headlines. In Nepal, 100,000 people poured into the streets Thursday in defiance of a government warning they could be shot on sight for violating a curfew. The demonstrations marked the largest show of opposition to the rule of King Gyanendra since the outbreak of pro-democracy protests more than 2 weeks ago. More than 2,000 people staged a sit-in at the site of a police shooting that killed three people and injured dozens more. In Washington, President Bush welcomed Chinese President Hu Jintao for their first White House summit. During a joint media address, Bush made a brief mention of civil liberties in China.
I'll continue to discuss with President Hu the importance of respecting human rights and freedoms of the Chinese people. China has become successful because the Chinese people are experienced the freedom to buy and to sell and to produce. And China can grow even more successful by allowing the Chinese people the freedom to assemble, to speak freely, and to worship.
Who followed President Bush's remarks but was interrupted by a protester as he began his speech. The protester, Wen Yiwang, denounced the Chinese government's treatment of practitioners of the spiritual movement Falun Gong. Wang yelled, quote, President Bush, stop him from killing, stop him from persecuting the Falun Gong. Wang was grabbed by Secret Service officers and led away. President Bush then encouraged Hu to proceed with his remarks, telling him, quote, you're okay. Administration official later said the President Bush apologized to Hu for the protesters' interruption. Although the incident made headlines around the world, it failed to reach a mass audience in China. According to CNN, the Chinese government censored the portion of its broadcast that showed the incident taking place. In Israel, the government imposed travel ban on nuclear whistleblower and peace activist Mordechai Vanunu has been extended for another year. Israeli authorities say Vanunu must remain inside the country because he's still seen as a security risk to the state. Vanunu was released from prison in 2004 after serving an 18-year sentence for leaking secrets about Israel's nuclear program. In Mexico, hundreds of police raided a steel plant occupied by striking workers Thursday. Two workers were killed, another 36 were injured. In other news, the UN's top humanitarian official is warning relief efforts in Sudan's Darfur region are facing a serious risk of collapse. The official, Jan Egeland, said aid workers will be unable to meet local needs unless foreign donors contribute more funding and the Sudanese government eases restrictions on aid workers. According to Egeland, the international community has provided just 20% of pledged donations. Egeland added, 200,000 people are currently not receiving the food aid they need to survive, while 650,000 people are now completely beyond the reach of aid workers. In Ontario, Canada, a major standoff at a Native site intensified Thursday when police used taser guns and tear gas to disrupt a protest. Native protesters have occupied the site for the last 7 weeks in an attempt to prevent construction of a housing development on what they say is their ancestral land. 16 people were arrested in the raid. Within hours, the site was reoccupied by a group of over 200 Native protesters who'd come to provide their support. Back in the United States, a new poll shows President Bush's approval rating is at a record low. According to Fox News, just 33% of Americans say they approve of the president's performance. Meanwhile, a new Bloomberg Los Angeles Times poll has found 58% of Americans believe the war in Iraq was unnecessary. In other news, a new report from the Congressional Research Service says the U.S. is now spending close to $10 billion a month on the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan, an increase of nearly $8 billion from 1 year ago. In Virginia, testimony in the trial of 9/11 suspect Zacharias Moussaoui concluded Thursday. In a statement read before the court, two FBI analysts said they highly doubted Moussaoui's claim that he and Richard Reid were meant to have flown a fifth plane into the White House. Closing arguments in the case are expected Monday. The jury will then decide if Moussaoui is to be sentenced to death or to life in prison. And this update on a story we've been following: in New Mexico, Albuquerque's Veterans Affairs Medical Center has publicly admitted it wrongly accused one of its nurses of sedition. In September, the nurse, Laura Berg, wrote a letter to a local newspaper criticizing the Bush administration around its dealing with Hurricane Katrina and the Iraq War. Her employers responded by confiscating her computer shortly after she was informed she was being investigated. Up until this week, the hospital had given Berg a private apology, but had resisted calls to publicly admit its allegations were false. And the late Reverend William Sloan Coffin Jr. was remembered Thursday at a funeral service at New York's Riverside Church. For the past half century, Coffin was a leading anti-war and civil rights advocate. Veteran journalist Bill Moyers was among those who spoke about Coffin's life.
He believed the long and great struggle of America was the struggle to assure that the rewards of a free society went to everyone and not just to the top. That last time we talked, he said how much he liked the story that he had heard Joseph Campbell tell me on our series, The Power of Myth. The story of the fella who turns the corner and sees a brawl in the middle of the block. He runs right for it, shouting, "Is this a private fight or can anybody get in it?" Bill saw democracy as everyone's fight. He'd be in the middle of the fork right now, his coat off, his sleeves rolled up, his hand raised, pointing us to the action. And his message would be the same as it was then. Sign up. Jump in. Fight on.
That was Bill Moyer speaking at the funeral service for the late Reverend William Sloan Coffin in New York. He died last week at the age of 81. And those are some of the headlines.